Good afternoon, everyone. It is a packed house today. It's been a long time since I've seen Worcester so full. It's kind of nice. I've been doing a lot of thinking lately on the topic of friendship, what it means to be a friend and what it means to be a good friend. And I've thought about my own life, and I've thought about the friendships that I've formed, the friendships I've seen come and go, and I've wondered to myself in the weeks and the days leading up to this weekend in particular, if only I had been a better friend early on, could those friendships be even better now? And for many of us, that's why we're here today. We're here because of a friendship with two very special people. The impact that friends have on our lives is immeasurable. Friendships can help bring us the greatest joys in life and help us through the worst of tragedies. What would life be without the relationships and friendships that bloom and grow throughout our lives? A life without friends is a lonely and hollow one. And I think that we can all agree that in some way, shape, or form, friendship is what brings us here today, to this particular Sabbath service here in Worcester, Massachusetts. But what does it mean to be a friend? With the time I have with you all this afternoon, I would like to look at what the Bible has to say on friendship and ask the question, what makes a friend? So to start, let's define the word friend. Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines the word friend as one attached to another by affection or esteem. One attached to another by affection or esteem. And I like the word of attached here that is used in the definition, as it implies that certain level of closeness that we associate with a good friend. If we were to look up in the Bible how many times the word friend comes up, we'll only find 54 examples of it in the New King James Version, for instance. And this to me was a pretty low number when you think about it. The word we'll first find over in Genesis chapter 38 and verse 12, when it describes a certain man by the name of Hira as a friend of Judah. And it's last used in James chapter 4 and verse 4, when it talks about how we cannot be a friend of the world and also a friend of God. The word friend is actually a bit of an interesting word search to go up and look up all the examples of friends in the Bible. For instance, we all know Job and his three friends who came to him and offered their advice and comfort to him in a time of need. One of Jeremiah's predictions for Jerusalem over in Jeremiah 9 includes betrayal by one's friend. Jesus is called a friend of tax collectors and sinners, and even Judas himself, who would go on to betray Jesus Christ, is even described as a friend. The idea of friend leads me to think of other terms of attachment as well, and affection, such as the endearment we find with the word brethren, that we know Paul starts most of his letters off with. But I think that word brethren has an even more accessible meaning in other translations for us today, as it's translated as dear friends. After my scan of the Bible for the word friend, I actually found that the words neighbor, friend, and brother are somewhat used interchangeably, depending on the version that you're reading from. These three words are distinct in both Hebrew and Greek, but have some level of overlap in their closeness. And before we move on with the question of what makes a friend, I'd like to discuss the differences between a neighbor and a friend and a brother. A brother, you might say, well, that's an easy one. He's the son of my mother, right? But also don't forget that who does the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same as my brother and sister and mother, which we read over in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 50. Or Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, which reads, "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are sons of God." We are all a family within the body of Christ as we strive together to do God's will. And this implies loyalty to one another and community based on an identity of origin or identity in life. Another biblical definition is people united by things in common. A brother is close because of common origin. And on the other hand, we have the word neighbor, which seems to indicate anyone in which we are in close proximity to. Everyone you're sitting next to right now, you could say, is your neighbor. They're right next to you. Biblically, though, it has a wider range of meaning than our English word today. I mean, it's clear from what we read in the 10th commandment that neighbor really can refer to anyone. We aren't to covet anyone's things. That's what we read in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is my neighbor's. All mankind is our neighbor, and we are to love our neighbor and do them no harm. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. So if these examples define a brother and a neighbor, then we might ask, well, what makes a friend? There's an old saying that goes, you can't pick your family, but you can choose your friends. And I kind of like that phrase because it seems to indicate a certain amount of something special about a friend and the fact that you can choose them. According to Vine's dictionary, the Hebrew word for friend is re'ah and means friend, companion, or fellow. It can be used in the Bible for anyone that the individual has a reciprocal relations with. In contrast, the New Testament definitions would reach probably a little bit more closely to our modern translations. Again, according to Vine's dictionary, we find two primary Greek words translated as friend. We have philios, meaning loved, dear, or friendly, and we have heteros, meaning a comrade, companion, or partner. If we take these definitions and we begin to put them together, we can start to see what a friend might look like. A friend is a close companion whom we love dearly and who reciprocates that same love back to us. A friend is a close companion who we love dearly and who reciprocates that love back to us. Do we show that type of love and concern for the people in our own lives that we call friend? And so far, we've talked about being a friend, a neighbor, and a brother, and how they each share a slightly different meaning, but in some ways, they can all be rolled into the same person. As adults, our best friends could be our siblings, maybe unlike when we were younger, or church members that may live nearby. But the term friend seems to point to an even more mental or emotional connection with the person. I mean, think about it. What makes the three terms neighbor, friend, and brother distinct? A neighbor may be physically close, and a brother might have much in common with you, but not all neighbors and brothers are friends. And not all companions are created equal. Many older adults, for example, are in need of caregivers that serve as a companion to them. Basically, this can be someone to see to their physical needs, to be present so they won't fall, or so that they aren't alone. But most would probably also like someone to be a companion mentally or emotionally for them as well. Someone who isn't obligated to come, but genuinely loves and receives love from them. Part of being a good friend is being there for someone. Not out of obligation or duty, but out of a deep-rooted love, care, and affection for another person. You choose to be there for someone because you want to be. And the Bible speaks about this aspect of friendship over in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9, if you'd like to join me there. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 9. Ointment and perfume delight the heart, and the sweetness of a man's friend gives delight by hearty counsel. Or put another way, in the New American Standard Bible, a man's counsel is sweet to his friend. The advice given in conversation is sweet to the friend. It's the mental connection of talking to one another, which is described as ointment and perfume in this verse. It almost sounds like a friend's sweetness is demonstrated and shown by his counsel, by talking to one another and suggesting better ways to live. Another aspect of being a good friend is the act of conversation, the act of talking. We share the joys and the troubles of our lives, and we hear the joys and the trials of others. And it's in those moments where we make lasting connections with other people. It's that time you spend talking to someone after church for like an hour or so, telling them about this hard trial you've been going through and listening back at the words they tell you that comfort you. Those are the moments in those friendships that you remember years after. And are we that type of friend? Are we the kind of listening ear or sympathetic voice that others need to hear from us? We've talked about mental connection, and the importance of communication with friends. And now let's look at another verse about friendship. A phrase we sometimes use in the church is that, for instance, we enjoy festivals of God because we can be of those of like mind. These also form some of the best and most important friendships in our lives. Look over with me now to Psalms chapter 119 and verse 63. Psalms 119 and verse 63. I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. This word companion is in fact far less frequent in the Bible than even the word friend, and can mean associate or worshiper. Other translations do translate the word companion as friend in this verse. I am a friend to all who fear you, to all those who follow your precepts, in the NIV. Those who fear God as we do, these are the type of individuals that we can truly have be our best of friends. Now, often we may have many close friends that may not share a like mind with us, but often that friendship can never be as fulfilling as one with a brother in Christ who shares a very basic connection with all of us, rooted in our love for God, connected on many levels while also sharing that important part of our lives, which is our Christian faith. And as we begin to wind down, I would like if you would all join me now over in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 17. We've been talking a lot about the different aspects of being a good friend and the differences between a friend and a neighbor and a brother. But what if it's not about trying to divide these three terms into three separate, different, distinct sects? But what if it's about taking all of them and taking the best aspects of them and putting them together? Let's see another aspect of what makes a friend here in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend forsake not. Neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity, for better is a neighbor that is a near off than a brother afar off. The truth is, the best kind of friend is one that is a combination of all three. The best traits of a brother and a neighbor. The best part of a brother is their loyalty, and the best part of a neighbor is their proximity. And someone who has both of these qualities should be very precious in our lives. I can think of a few friends my father has, for instance, and I'm sure many of you can as well with your own parents. Those people that they'd have over and they could just talk for hours about anything. And when I'm going different places, I often make a point to stop and say hi to these people because it's so important to keep those kind of friends and connections alive in your own life for counsel or words of wisdom when you need it. Because loyalty shown over time from a neighbor is actually a great quality of a friend. As I said at the beginning of this message, I've been thinking a lot lately on what it means to be a good friend or just a friend in general. And as I've reflected on my life, I've seen some good examples, and I've seen some poor ones. I've seen the effect on me and those I call my friends of my neglect or apathy in their friendship. Friendship is talked about more in the verses in Proverbs, and we've only looked at just a few. We've talked about the sweetness of counsel and the common fear of God in our companions. We've mentioned that it's better to have a long-standing friend as a nearby neighbor in time of calamity. Does this description bring anyone to mind in your own lives? A person with whom you are mentally and spiritually connected with. A person who shares your respect for God, and a person who is both loyal over time and who you want to have very near. Please turn with me now for our final scripture over in Song of Solomon chapter 5 and verse 16. It's the book right after Ecclesiastes, because I know it's not one we typically turn to, but Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and verse 16. And to put it into context here, this is the bride that is speaking. We read, his mouth is full of sweetness, and he is wholly desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. When it speaks of the sweetness of his mouth, it includes the sweetness of kind words. She says he is desirable, and that would include mentally, spiritually, as well as physically. The Shulamite woman here calls her husband her friend. Now, many of us are here today to support two friends of ours, two people who have enough of an impact on all of our lives to bring us all here today. They have found in each other the best among all the rest. They have found that close companion with whom they love and who reciprocates that love back to them. They have found someone they can talk to freely for hours about anything. And finally, they have found that someone they can connect with on the deepest level through a shared faith. This weekend, we will celebrate the beginning of a beautiful friendship between two friends of ours, and we wish them all the happiness in the world. Let it inspire us to take a fresh look at the friendships in our own lives as we strive to be the type of friend that God would want us to be. In closing, I'd like to leave you with a poem that I found that I thought fit this topic rather well. It's a poem entitled, "Everyone Needs Someone" by Helen Steiner Rice. And it goes something like this. People need people, and friends need friends, and we all need love, for a full life depends. Not on vast riches or great acclaim, not on success or on worldly fame, but just in knowing that someone cares and holds us close in their thoughts and prayers. For only the knowledge that we're understood makes everyday living feel wonderfully good. And we rob ourselves of life's greatest need when we lock up our hearts and we fail to heed the outstretched hand reaching to find a kindred spirit whose heart and mind are lonely and longing to somehow share our joys and sorrows and to make us aware that life's completeness and riches depend on the things we share with our loved ones and friends.